Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The number, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul wrote this in his letter to the Romans: I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And I love this passage. We think as we read it, there's a statement of boldness. You know, I'm not ashamed. Somebody with some conviction, and I think that's a true statement. Yes. As far as Paul is concerned. But I also sense some excitement in here. Right before this declaration, he says this: that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. There was an excitement in Paul about delivering the message of life to people who were dead in sin. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we need to think of the gospel in terms of like a cure, you know, on a secular level. If somebody has cancer, they've been cured of that particular cancer. That's a message that you want to deliver. You want to share that excitement with others, and to share it in a sense, if that cure was available to all, that, hey, this is for you as well. And I think that's how Paul was delivering this message to the Romans, that I have something so exciting to tell you. It can change your life from the inside out. It can take you from death to life. It can deliver you to a place of right standing before God. And that's what we all want. That's what we all long for, is that place of right standing before God. Well, in this gospel, there is a righteousness from God that is revealed, not something from the law, but is by faith from the least to the greatest. That's the good news. And so if you want right standing with God, this gospel message is the message for you, and it's the only message for you. There's no other place to find it except in the good news of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Calls are beginning to come in, but still we have some room for you at 844-322-2742, a good opportunity for you to grab a line right now and pose your question or present your particular subject of discussion on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Atlanta, Georgia, and talk with Yenny listening to us today on the Internet. Hi, Yenny.
Hi, good afternoon. I can't believe I'm talking to you guys. You guys are amazing. I'm a little nervous. So
well, you're just talking to some friends, just a phone call. Okay. So
I met you guys about 15 years ago, but I'm sure you guys don't remember me, but that's okay. Okay, my question and my comment has to do with depression. I recently went through an episode of depression, which is the most horrible thing a human being can experience. I went through a traumatic marriage, a bitter divorce, and some financial problems. I couldn't take care of my body. So finally, my body gave up. I was irresponsibly prescribed with that quote-unquote wonderful drug called Prozac, which is, in along with other medicines, which is the most horrible thing, because I developed all kinds of side effects, anorexia. I lost tremendous amount of weight. I had thoughts of suicide. So after only 10 days, I made a conscious decision. After praying so hard to God, I made a conscious decision of stopping that medicine and not taking it anymore. I decided that God was going to be my doctor. It is horrible. I read about it, and there's a lot of corruption out there within the pharmaceutical companies with this medicine. So today I have a lot more compassion for people going through that same situation, and maybe God would use my experience to talk to somebody else about it. I don't know. But my question is that during my depression and at the end of my depression, which I still have very light episodes, I started having thoughts of doubt. I started wrestling with God's truth. I started having some type of fear for heaven. How is heaven going to be like? I started, you know, I'm tormented by the idea of hell and the people that go there. I have a 9-year-old, and I think I had already, I had made her say the prayer twice, but as soon as she says the prayer, she goes back to her toy. So, and I know it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I feel like a horrible Christian because, I mean, what kind of a Christian can have these doubts? I feel like I'm the only one with these doubts. And these doubts were not present in me before before having the depression. But now I don't understand why I'm wrestling with this. And I have family that is not, that family members that have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ yet. So there's a lot of worry in me all the time.
Well, Yenny,
it's just horrible. So I don't know what's wrong with me, and I need help because I don't have any more peace in my heart.
Well, let me jump in, and I think we can be of help to you there, Yenny. As far as doubts are concerned, I think depression, I mean, when you're in that blackness that people mm-hmm. call depression, your mind doesn't think on truth.
No,
your mind just goes all over the place. And if a person is in depression for a period of time, some habits of the mind start to develop. Some channels of thought start to form. And it seems like with any situation that happens, you just go to those negative thoughts.
Yes,
they
absolutely.
Just become a part of your way of thinking.
Yes.
And it's difficult to shed those because, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's like water that flows down a barren hillside. It will create little like gullies, and then every time the water comes, it will go back down those same gullies. And so we have to kind of rebuild, you know, our thinking and create new channels of truth. Mm-hmm. And that's where it takes, I think, a concerted effort on an individual's part to get into the Word of God and just let that brain be bathed with truth. Allow God's truth to just pass through that brain as much as you possibly can to basically reshape. And then to, you know, take a stand on truth. Regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I think, this is what the Word of God has to say, and I am going to take my stand on what the Word of God has to say. And so the Word of God says that I'm forgiven. The Word of God says that I've been made right in God's sight through faith in Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that I've been given a new identity, that I am a child of God, forever love. The Word of God says that God will never leave me nor forsake me. The Word of God says that nothing can separate me from the love of God. So you take your stand on those things. And every time those thoughts of doubt enter into your mind, you take that as an opportunity to say, Lord, thank you again for what I know to be true based on the finished work of Christ and the revealed Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin with a grateful heart. Lord, I know this is true. And then over time, you will see that mind starting to be renewed. Now, as far as family members and the thought of hell, and you know what's happening there is Satan, I think, basically is trying to put the weight of the world on your shoulders, that it's up to you to do something about it. And that is a burden that God has never called you to bear. God in Jesus is doing something for the world, and you can trust him to do that. So he loves your family more than you do. Do you believe that?
I do, and I know he loves my daughter too.
Yes. And so trust him. And if he wants to use you in the process of reaching them and connecting them to the love of Christ, then he will do so. You can count on that to happen. Maybe he has other means in mind, another plan in mind. Well, just let that plan materialize. So don't let Satan put the weight of the world on your shoulders. That's why God sent Jesus. The weight's on his shoulders. So our burden is light, our yoke is light, our burden is easy. We can find rest in him.
And if I may say really quick, sometimes not all the people in church are really equipped to deal with these kinds of problems. I went to a dear brother who knows the word, but he pretty much says that the reason why I had depression is because I just wasn't relying on the Spirit, and I honestly didn't know what else to say, and he says that I was not allowing the Spirit in my life. It was because I was as guilty as a man watching pornography. And with depression, it's like if I stab you in a leg and I tell you, Bob, the pain is not going away because you don't have enough faith in God. And that's the way I felt. I don't think God works that way.
No, it's a process, Jenny, and there's a lot of things that trigger depression, adverse circumstances in life. Maybe it is a bad choice that you've made, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Those are the trigger points, and then depression can follow from there, and it follows through a progression. We get angry about things. We get fearful about things. We sink down into a pit of self-pity. And then from there, we can go into depression and possibly despair. That's kind of the cycle. But there is a way to break free. And what I want to do, Jenny, is this. We have a CD series that's called Break Free. Is that
The Breakout?
The Breakout. The Breakout is what it's called. We're going to put you on hold. We're going to send that to
you,
and then let's stay connected, okay?
Thank you, guys. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jenny. Thank you so much for calling. Let me put you on hold, and we will send that CD series to you. It's called The Breakout. And certainly there are other people in Jenny's shoes that are experiencing the same thing, going through emotional difficulties, they're in emotional bondage, maybe even to the point of depression. They're doubting their salvation. They feel like they're in a black hole, that God's a million miles away, that he's not hearing their prayers, that he's not interested. And all of that is symptomatic of what many people call depression. And it's a spiritual, you know, there's elements to it that are physical, that need physical attention. So we're not going to negate that part of it. But many times it gets down to spiritual bondage. We're dealing with guilt, and we're carrying that to such an intense degree that God seems forever distant.
Yeah.
And but there is a way to break free from that, to break out of that. And if that's you, we want to put this series in your hands as well. It's available for you at basicgospel.net. Take advantage of it. It is a wonderful practical tool that can help you break out and be set free.
Absolutely. And you can go directly there by simply logging on at store.basicgospel.net. Well, open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to pose your question on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, we're going to go to Clay in Hutto, Texas. Hi, Clay. How are you doing?
Hey, good. Hey, Bob. How are you doing, Richard?
Hi. We're doing great.
Hey, I'm doing good, too.
I wanted to reflect on Romans 13, 1 through 14. My wife and I were discussing this county clerk, Kim Davis, in Kentucky. And she said she agreed with everything that's going on. And I said, I do too. And I have no doubt that Mrs. Davis is a member of the Household of Faith, a born-again Christian. And now they're not issuing any marriage licenses at all. And I don't think this is going to be the last that this comes up. But in Romans, and you can talk about it, we're supposed to, as Christians, submit to the authority of man. And I told my wife, I said, I think it would have made a bigger impact on her faith if she would have resigned her position, because a federal court ordered them to issue them. You know, it would be like me at work. If I just blatantly said I'm not going to do something for my faith, they would fire me. You know, I just wanted to get your opinion on that, because I think we're going to see that a lot more in the future. And here's her exact words, and just real short. It says, for me to issue these lessons would be an act of disobedience to God. I question if she's being disobedient by not submitting to the authority that either elected her or appointed her to this position.
Well, Clay, you've opened up a great can of worms for us. So
yeah,
thanks,
man.
You on that. Romans 13 is a very interesting passage. And, you know, so often we just look at it in and of itself, just that one chapter. But I think context is very important here. In verse 17 of chapter 12, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. It goes on to say, leave room for God's wrath. It is mine to revenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And then it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then he takes off into this conversation about governing authorities. And he says, submit. Well, I think why he's saying for us to submit is because God does have something in place to handle some of the evils that are in the world. And
amen,
those are governing authorities. So we don't have to stand up and seek revenge for the evil that is going on. That's well beyond our pay grade, so to speak. So God has simply called us to trust him. When we receive evil, we pay back with kindness. We're not overcome with that. We repay it with goodness, and we leave the governing authorities, the things that God has established, to take care of all that stuff on our behalf, or on behalf of the society, or the community, or the country. And so with that, there comes some order. There's not renegade people out there, rogue people out there trying to become vigilantes, so to speak, in the name of Christ. So I think it's so important for us to see this in context. It's not just a command to submit to governing authorities. It's a command to submit to governing authorities, because that's the agency that God has put in place to bring justice into this world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but she's not submitting to authority, but it would be like Jesus when they came and asked him to, should we pay her taxes? He paid his taxes, okay? That's their deal. That's Caesar's deal, okay? And as far as I know, the way the world changes is one heart at a time through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, not through laws and regulations or disobedience of them.
Well, Clay, there's a lot of discussion on what she should have done, or it is what she did the right thing to do. You know, if we're going to take a stand for truth, if we're going to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be prepared to suffer whatever consequences come. I was reading in Acts chapter 4 today, where Peter and John were arrested after healing the lame beggar, and the authorities didn't know what to do with them. And they said, they let them go, but they said, we want you to stop talking about Jesus. And they basically said, do with us whatever you want, but we cannot stop talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Arrest us, put us in jail, do whatever. But wherever we are, and as long as we have voice, we're going to talk about Jesus. So I think that's important for us to realize that what we really want to take our stand on is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are laws out there that go against what we would believe, but when the government starts taking away my ability to communicate the good news of Jesus, that's when we rise up and say, no, you will not stop me from talking about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. I look around the world. It's a world of darkness. There is no hope. There is no light. This is the only source of light. Do not extinguish it. And I will not let it go out. I will continue to speak. I will continue to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's when we really rise up, when the government, when anybody else says, no, you cannot talk about the Lord.
I fully agree, and that's what I believe. And no one's ever going to stop that. All I was saying is I think she could have made a bigger impact for the cause of Christ if she just would have answered not a word, you know, kind of like what Jesus did.
Yeah, like I said, there's all kinds of things there and that people can talk about and say this or that, and I agree. So thanks, Clay. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Indeed. And friends, the Basic Gospel is on the air every day for one reason only, and that, of course, is to get the word out that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is forgiving, and that Jesus wants to give us all his life through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's a message that you hear every day on this program, and many people are responding, hearing truth. So thanks to each of you who partner with us to keep the good news coming. There's no way we could do what we do every day without your prayers, without your support. And Basic Gospel, it truly is a partnership between you who give to support this message and those of us who are on the air each day proclaiming his love, life, and grace. We are encouraged each time we hear from you. And something new, something very new this month, for your gift of any amount, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's CD called Something New. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742 to accomplish your gift. Again, that's 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Yvonne, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. I have a question in Jude, Jude 6, where they're talking about, and the angels which kept not their first estate and left their own habitation, he had reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment. I was wondering, I'm trying to figure out, was the first estate when the third of the angels left with Satan, or is this when they were given a specific assignment and they turned away from it? I'm trying to understand, and when did they go in chains, or I don't know if there's an answer.
Yeah, I believe what Jude is talking about there is that when a third of the angels rebelled with Satan, they gave up their initial positions of authority. And God condemned them. They have been
and there's
bound.
No chance for repentance or renewal or anything. They are done.
Yeah.
Basically, they cast their lot. They set their destiny, and that was it. The grace of God was only for human beings. Those of us made in the image of God, as God created us to be. So there's redemption for us. The angels long to look into what we experience. Well, Yvonne, hope that helps. We're out of time on today's broadcast. Come see us October 24th at the Simply Grace Tour. We would love to see you right there in New York City. Stay tuned. Bob Davis has all the information.
Indeed, I do. And all you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net, click the events tab, and all that information is there, including the upcoming Grace Tour in Washington, D.C., in that area. That's coming up in early November as well. But, of course, the first one, October 24th, at the King's College on Broadway in New York City. It's going to be a great time. We hope many of you come out. We'd love to meet you. So go to basicgospel.net, click events in that upper menu, and get all the information and get registered. Also, want to remind you once again of our app, multifaceted option to stay connected with Basic Gospel. You can hear the live broadcast. You can access the archive. You can post a question to be used on air. You can click inside the studio and see what I've got to say each week. In addition to Bob Christopher's blog, all that available in the app. Get it at the App Store, and we'd love to see you taking advantage of that. Well, we're out of time, so for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.